Well, hello there, my friends. It's good to see you. This is Merlin. I'm happy to have everyone here today.
How big's the knife? That's what I want to
know. Oh, God, I need a piss.
You have to go to the bathroom. Talent's moving to the...
Well, anyway, it was going on a bit like this story.
In the apocalypse, I think we're going to do quite well.
Brutal.
What happened in Vegas with Piff and Paul?
Welcome to...
What happened in Vegas with me, Piff the Magic Dragon,
and me,
Paul Debeck?
Paul Debeck. I'm going to be Paul Debeck today.
Does that mean I get a fancy desk and
a
chair?
Yeah, you get the fancy desk and I get some sweet guns.
But the pea shooters, pew, pew. I ain't got no guns.
So today we had the interview with us and Sean from Queer Eye.
Yes, your fellow Queer Eye alumni.
Yeah, but I prefer to think of him as Merlin from Tournament of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did for so long.
The biggest seller of Cornish hens in the world.
Is that what it is?
Not him.
The show.
The show. That's what he told us, right?
Oh, wow.
The biggest, seller, I don't know, user, consumer.
That's one of those shows that has been there forever.
I haven't been. I want to go.
Been?
Maybe you could go without us.
Oh, God. We're still on that. We're still a little touchy from last week.
I want to know what that experience is like of eating a Cornish hen while smelling
chicken
horse
in a basket.
No, but I do want to see it because, again, it's like there's a reason it's still here.
Yeah, it's really good, that show.
I think it's a lot of fun. I want to go. Yeah.
So he was on the show and he was and we talked to him about Queer Eye, which was great. But then it turns out that he's some like crazy wilderness survivor.
Yeah, not survivor as in like he got thrown into the wilderness and he survived. He does it himself.
But
like he's like a next level man scout.
Yeah, it's right.
Like he goes out into the wilderness for like a week or 10 days with nothing but a knife.
I mean, who does this?
I mean...
Why would you want to do that?
I have no idea.
I think there's some people that want to survive the apocalypse and other people that...
I don't want to survive the apocalypse.
No, I want to be... If it's happening,
yeah.
I want to be vaporized, gone.
Immediately.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Released.
Got no time for it.
Can you imagine? I mean, even if there's not an apocalypse, if there's just not show business or if there's just not the flamingo for you... Like,
that's true.
It's like, you know who would survive? Jade.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Jade would be out there Mad Max style, driving around.
She has such a will to live. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is because she lives with you.
Yeah, and she just pushes on through every day.
Yeah, she'd be like driving like some Mad Max showgirl mobile or something in the desert. And like, she'd be a great character in the sort of, I'm thinking like Book of Eli, you know, that kind of... It's all ended.
She'd be keeping it together, and I would just be there going, and she'd just be going,
you're gone. She's a widow. She's talking about how she used to date a dragon.
No, I think she'd keep me. I wouldn't want to be there.
In this plot, you're gone. She keeps you in a little cage.
Yeah. Like a pet. It's me and five dogs. She's got just another mouth to feed.
Yes.
That's what she's doing. I don't want to be there, but she's like keeping you going, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, well.
Guess I'm stuck in the apocalypse now.
She's Danny McBride and you're Channing Tatum. Remember that at the end of This Is the End?
What's This Is the End?
It's a movie about the apocalypse and it's really funny.
If I haven't been on a plane, I don't go to movies very often. So if it's not old or it's been on a plane and I've been on a plane recently, I haven't seen it.
It's pretty old.
So many movies people are like, can't believe you haven't seen that.
2013, Jonah Hill, he's in it.
2013, Jonah Hill.
2013, Jonah
Hill. Well, yeah, I guess it's just like, if that was the apocalypse. How do we get onto this?
But I don't know. Oh, the apocalypse.
Yeah, the apocalypse.
Sean in the wilderness. It would be Sean and Jade fighting for
fighting to the death.
Yeah.
My money is on Jade.
Yeah. Sean talks a lot about the style transformation and how good and awkward that was with the hair stuff.
I think I say that they wanted to do that to me. They basically gave him a toupee and they wanted to do
one of those sort of permanent styled things.
Yeah.
He delivers a really nice little 30 seconds of positivity at the end of the podcast.
That's worth hanging in there for.
That's nice. If there was an apocalypse, I'd be seeking that out if I have to live through it.
You know? Do we have to live through an apocalypse?
Well, TikTok might bring the apocalypse. TikTok might be the first step on the apocalypse ladder.
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping I don't have to live through an apocalypse. That's my one wish I have for myself.
Poor Sean. This is the intro for Sean's podcast, and you're going to be very uplifted by it.
Yeah.
We have set a tone for the only way is up now.
Exactly. It's just nothing but joy from here on.
Also, to be fair, if you know the Flamingo gig doesn't ever work, you can go and be in Tournament Kings because they've got a dragon, but they don't have a magic dragon yet.
Yeah, I could go.
So it could be like a tournament of dragons.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
And you've got a gig.
Love it.
He's also working at the Sphere now. He for Wizard of Oz, I think he's the one of the wizard voices.
One of the wizard voices.
Oh, is he?
That's right. Yeah. That Wizard of Oz experience. The Sphere's an interesting thing because I don't know if you feel like this, but it went up, and when it went up, it was like they were kind of had this Avatar like world, kind of beautiful tropical things going on it and everything. I was like, this is the most beautiful. It's amazing. It's amazing. And then I turned and looked there one day, and there was an emoji, and it was just a huge emoji, and then it was a Pizza Hut commercial, and I was like, oh, it happened.
Yeah.
It's too tacky already.
The emojis, I like the emoji.
I mean, it's fun.
It's cute.
It's cute. It's cute, but I was just like, oh, that changed quick. You know?
Yeah, now it's a billboard.
Right. Or, you know, it's kind of reminds me of the pyramid, you know, like the pyramid when it was first there. You're like, oh, it's a pyramid, and now you're like, it's Egypt. And Tutankhamun needs painting.
Right. Now it's like, oh, it's a Luxor.
Yeah.
Yikes.
That's not
Caesar's
the
property, so I can disparage it.
But legally, that is not the opinion of Caesar's or any Caesar's employees. You're a free agent.
I don't think I'm a Caesar's employee, no.
No, exactly.
So I think we're good.
That's why I'm saying you can say that.
The Luxor is yikes.
Crazy time, Vegas. Tell you what, look at that. Finally, we've got to the meat and potatoes of this podcast. What happened in Vegas? What happened? Some people spent a lot of money on a lot of things that looked real cool for a second, then became a little bit tacky.
Yeah.
And that's why we love it.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Not to worry. There'll be another Gordon Ramsay restaurant soon, so that'll be nice.
Gordon Ramsay's restaurants are all delicious, and I love eating every single one of them.
And you,
they're on Caesars.
I know.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them though. Isn't there?
Delicious.
He's good, Gordon Ramsay. Do you think you could have some sort of, you know, they've got Cornish hens over at what? You do a lot of food based stuff. Maybe we should look at opening a
ham and cheese sandwiches.
Chris Angel opened Kablip.
Yeah.
Was it Kablip?
And they had to close because it was so successful.
That happens.
What is Kablip, or what was Kablip?
Chris Angel's breakfast, lunch, pizza.
I think we could have, you should have a, we should see if Caesars will do a, I mean, you're in the steakhouse here.
Yeah.
We may as well name a seafood tower after you or something. It is good. It is good.
Very good.
What's it called? Bugsy
and Myers.
Yeah. That
My friend came to the show the other day and he was like, oh, can we go and get some food afterwards? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he was like, oh, can we go and get a seafood tower?
Because he knew.
Because he loved it so much the last time. Oh. He clearly, I think that's why he came to the show.
Yeah.
For the seafood tower.
Yeah.
And the restaurant was closed that day and he was very disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, in the early days when I was really emotionally unstable, you took me there quite a lot. Now,
no.
I haven't had so much as a prawn.
No. It's just me and Donny Osmond there.
It's
all
once
the time.
You found out that I do drink and I like the biggest pieces of steak.
Yeah. Drinking is expensive.
Yeah, it is.
It's so expensive.
But, I mean, a glass of red wine with a steak is just...
Oh. Yeah, it's delicious. I'm sure it's very good for people who can still drink alcohol.
Yeah.
But since I became a magic dragon, we can't because it combusts.
Exactly. So. And talking of, you know, being able to light fires and eat meat.
Yeah. I like it, Paul. Good segue.
Good segue?
Yeah.
Just trying to keep us on track. I know why I'm here.
Here comes Sean. Welcome to What Happened in Vegas with me, Piff the Magic Dragon, Paul DeBeck, and today, Sean Critchfield. Hello, Sean.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. Excellent. I'm excited to be here. I think that's like the obligatory statement you have to make when you're asked that on a podcast.
Absolutely.
You're excited to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm great. I'm happy. I'm excited to be here.
are you though?
I mean, you step into this room, how can you not be excited? It is
There's a lot of excitement in this room.
Carnival exploded in your face.
No, absolutely. I'm genuinely excited to be here. I was thrilled when I got the message.
How long have you been looking forward to it for?
Since I got the message.
How long ago was that?
I think we've been talking about it for almost 2 weeks now.
Wow, that's longer than I knew I was going to be
on this
podcast.
Do you have a calendar with red X's on marking down the days?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, you do?
Lipstick, actually. Red lipstick X's.
Great.
Yeah.
You and I were classmates from Queer Eye Season 9.
Season 9.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
They're not doing any more Queer Eyes.
I know. That's crazy.
Wow.
They peaked with us.
You closed the show.
Yeah. No, they've got one more season.
Oh, okay.
This is the last season.
I mean, like following us would be like following Penn from Penn and Teller, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But you just can't follow that.
Yeah.
So. Well, we're not sure which episode, which order this episode is going to come out in, so you may or may not be following Penn and Teller. So that may look like you're going, I cannot follow Penn. I would like this episode to be before Penn's.
Well, both of those are true. So.
Or it could be a bold statement.
Absolutely.
I know you from Queer Eye Season 9,
mm-hmm.
but my good friend Brett Alters knows you from Tournament of Kings, is that
right? Yeah.
Where you were an actual wizard.
Yes, I was an actual wizard. In Tournament of Kings, I was there for 10 years. I did over 4,000 performances.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I've done 10 years at the Flamingo and we're just about to do 2,000.
Oh, wow.
So you worked twice as hard as me over that 10 years.
I mean, and he's a real wizard.
He's a real wizard. What can you teach us?
About being a wizard?
Yeah. We're not real wizards.
I mean, it's all in the voice, you know. Well, hello there, my friends. It's just a little gravitas, like, that's all. Give it a go.
What's your Merlin voice?
Let's see. Well, hello there, my friends. It's good to see you. This is Merlin. I'm happy to have everyone here today. That was my Merlin voice.
Well, I think I've seen you in Tournament of Kings. I came to the show in 2014 or 13. Mm-hmm. Were you doing it then?
Yes, I was. That was like right around when I started.
Wow.
Yeah.
They give you chicken in a basket.
This is the dream.
Have you been to see Tournament Kings?
I've not been.
You've never been?
I would like to go though.
You're really missing out.
Can we go together?
I would.
It's one of those shows it's been around so long for a reason.
Right. And it's almost not forgotten in that it still does great business, but because it's been around so long, it's just part of the fabric of this city now. I can't believe I haven't seen it. It's a bit like living in San Francisco and never visiting Alcatraz. Alcatraz is like one of the greatest tours I've ever been on. And my friends that live in San Francisco are like, oh no, I've never been there. It's for the tourists. And then they go and they're like, wow, this is amazing. It's just like so part of the
absolutely.
City.
Absolutely. The show is gorgeous. It's so much fun. And it really has withstood the test of time. It's had two iterations. There was King Arthur's Tournament originally, and then it turned into Tournament of Kings. But it's still been consistent.
So which one were you in? Were you in the King Arthur one?
I was in Tournament of Kings. I was in the second version.
Which is the one that I saw?
Yes.
And that's what's running now?
Yes. That's the one that's still running now.
Yeah. And how many is in the cast?
Oh, man. There are...
three.
35. It's a three-hander. Yeah. We play all the roles. There's 35 in the show, and Merlin at the
end.
That's
just cast, right?
Yeah. That's dancers, fighters,
horses,
musclemen. No, actually, we do name the horses as well. So at the end of the show, Merlin has to do a curtain call where we say every single person's name
that's my
in
nightmare.
The show. And it was a nightmare for me too. But
and you have to do the off memory. You can't be out
memory.
There with a list.
With a rotating
with a
cast.
Scroll, right. Yeah.
With the rotating cast out of memory.
And
the horses. So the horses are not part of the cast.
They're not counted
as the cast. So you're a trailblazer because, you know.
I give credit to Mr.
Pibbles. It's a cast member.
Where credit's due.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that the horses in a lot of ways get treated better than the actors. You know, they're rotated. They don't work as long a week as we do.
We were just talking about this.
Sugar lumps.
Absolutely. Yeah. Taken out to, they have like a separate farm that they bring them out to and they rotate them back and forth. And yeah, the horses get the cushy treatment.
Best, probably the best gig in town, apart from obviously being a Mr. Piffles.
Mr. Piffles is the best gig in town.
Although
you can behave however you want to behave if you're Mr. Piffles. You can do anything you want.
OG Mr. Piffles could do whatever.
It just doesn't. You cannot get fired.
Do you remember when he did a shit on your baseboard?
Yeah.
Literally did a poop. And
he
then
comes
put
in.
It.
What he does every morning, he wakes up, he goes outside, he barks a bit, looks around, enjoys his back garden, lies in the grass spitting, goes, oh God, I need a piss. Comes in, pisses in the house, goes, because he doesn't want to ruin his kingdom.
Well, that grass was expensive,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he doesn't want to repay for that. And he does it, and he like, oh, like just shit all over the house. And but now we've got five dogs. Mm-hmm. We don't have Mr. Pills anymore. We have five more dogs. And each of them do exactly the same. And we reckon Jade's cleaning up about 35 to 40 piss stains a day. We got the whole house like hardwood floor.
You've worked that out because it's on her LinkedIn profile now or
we
something?
We calculated it. We just did it like, wow. You know, piece per hour. Because once one goes, they all join in.
Yeah, yeah. They're on top of each other sometimes.
The thing they love is pissing on each other's head. They cannot get enough of that.
That is, when you really think about it, that is the ultimate swing, isn't it? It's the ultimate, like...
It's Vegas, right?
Well, I guess there's something for everyone, like, but I think it's more about being like, try me. You know, they all want to vie for... I mean, Tui really did step up into the alpha role as soon as dear Mr. Tui's Pipples departed.
Tui is the cause of most of my problems.
Yeah.
It's the
not
source
three
of
Adore.
Your woe.
Not three at all.
Three Adore's the best.
Yeah, I would say that the dirt in the Tournament of Kings arena is probably 30% horseshit because they're constantly going and then we just till and go. They try to scoop up as much as they can. But yeah, so we're out there in ankle deep dirt out there.
It smells of horse poo, right?
It doesn't. It's very smart. The way they have the air system set up creates a vacuum into the center. So when it's also to look out for horse allergies and things like
right.
that. So we get to smell.
Oh, allergic against the horses or the horses allergic?
The audience, people. If they have horse allergies.
Right. And you don't have to be on a horse to, I get a little bit allergic. To
horses?
Yeah, yeah, and if it's like 6-10 feet.
But if you had a horse allergy and you go to Tournament of Kings, surely that's on you.
Right, well, that's maybe why I haven't been. Also, you know.
Oh, isn't that the reason?
Horse allergy and chicken in a basket.
Why do you not like chicken in a basket?
I love chicken in a basket.
It's one of those things you're like, why is this not at every show?
I love
town?
Chicken. Mm-hmm. If you give me a show and fried chicken,
is it fried chicken?
It's probably rotisserie chicken.
No. It's rotisserie chicken. And
have you seen the chicken ovens?
I have not. We're not allowed to go into the kitchen. I think it's because we all tread around in horseshit.
That's a lot of chickens a night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How many does it seat?
I want to say that arena is in like high hundreds.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the rotisserie.
Yeah. The rotisserie seats. Well, the rotisserie would seat the same amount.
Well, that's true.
High hundreds. But
is it one chicken per basket and one basket per person?
Yes. And I know that they are one of the biggest purchasers of game of those small chickens in the world.
Oh, yeah, because they're small chickens, aren't they? Yeah. Cornish hens.
Yeah,
maybe,
the little Cornish
like
hens.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
All those hens from Cornwall.
Yeah,
they're keeping the Cornish. It's not the tourists that keeps Cornwall afloat.
That's why Cornwall hates Las Vegas.
Yeah, and the pasties.
Yeah.
God, Cornwall's killing it in Vegas.
But, I mean, I want to say it's... 600? Something like that. No, maybe more.
What does it
seat? It's definitely more. I know, I would say closer to 800. So,
and two shows a night, right?
Yeah, we would do two shows a night.
1,500 chickens a day.
Yeah, and we were dark Tuesdays, so we were
dark
in there
one
hustling.
Night.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is a lot of chicken.
Yeah.
One person doesn't need to eat a whole hen. That's
900
like
seats.
Chicken per
900
seats.
Look at that. You'd think I would know that after 4,000 performances.
Oh, yeah, I want to go. It looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, I know about it, but I always forget it. And then I'm like,
Alex went the other day, one of our friends, Alex. He went and just had the best time.
We should go. I'll set up a meet and greet afterwards.
Let's do it.
Everybody, and we'll go down and, you know.
Well, I can't do meet and greet with those horses, but if you sit me in a vacuum seat, I'm all right.
Are you allergic to horses? You are?
Yeah.
How bad?
Ooh, as bad as I am to cats.
Oh, right. Well, Jade's allergic to cats. She might be allergic to horses as well.
We can leave the horses in the back, but they do set it up so that you
I always feel like the horse is going to kick me in the head because I just, everyone has like drilled that into me.
That
when
a horse
I was growing
is
going
to kick you in the head?
Yes. If you go near a horse, it's going to kick you in the head and you'll die. That's all I got told as a child. So anytime I see a horse, I'm like, I'm not going near that thing.
You know, you're safer being closer to the horse mm-hmm. than you are. That's why when you pass the back of a horse, you're safer being up close because it's got less room to.
Yeah. Well, why would you?
Yeah, well, when you're like tending to horses, this podcast has already just completely
look, there's
derailed.
There's a lot of people
we're
who
practically
are
in the Galapagos.
Come for the horse content. There's a lot of big equestrian fans?
Only shires.
Absolutely.
What is it? You have to. You can't go around the back of a horse. Well, is
you,
that
if you can, do, but if you you're grooming, to, you
yeah,
know better.
Yeah, if you do, you touch the back of the horse the whole time so that they know you're there. The big key is not to startle them. But honestly, that was one of the really interesting things was when we were learning the track. Is you have to be aware of where the explosions are going to happen, where our
pyrotechnics
are set. I did not ride a horse in the show. And there were areas when they were moving the round table that you had to be clear of. But one of the things they said was our blocking is designed so you never have your back to the horses, because at the end of the day, they're animals and they're unpredictable. And we did have horses on occasion that would get turned around or confused and scared, and they would just run amok until we could get them in the back.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I had Mr. Piffles run amok once. Three butterflies were mildly injured.
Yeah.
Never to recover.
So you were in Merlin for you were Merlin for how many years?
I was there for 10 years.
10 yeah. years of Merlin.
Merlin rides a dragon, surely, not a, you know. No, I think there might be a second role
for you.
He's
got a staff. You have to like walk around with this.
You might be, if it all falls apart, maybe you could fly in at Tournament of Kings.
That's right. We actually have one moment where someone comes out in a dragon costume to fight King Arthur.
How
and I think
you
would be.
Wow.
Just delightful in that role.
Good evening.
When did that first happen? Did that precursor Piff the Magic Dragon?
Yeah.
This show's been here a long time.
Yeah.
You're not the first Magic Dragon on the strip.
Not the first Magic Dragon.
Yeah. They're not
first
magic.
Dragon.
Ah, oh, gotcha.
It's a regular dragon.
They're warrior dragons.
Just a regular dragon.
Yeah. I'm the Magic Dragon.
That's right.
It does not have the capacity to fly in on wires. It's an actual real magic dragon.
Have you seen me fly in on wires? I'm not sure I have the capacity to fly in on wires. I sort of dangle in. That's what I do.
With your eyes shut.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, when you go fishing, you go crabbing, you know, when you like, and you put the thing on the crab, and you like dangle it in for the crabs. That's what I do at the beginning of my show. They just dangle me in for the crabs.
Yeah.
You have to remember 36 people a night in the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do you have to do as Merlin? What's Merlin's other roles?
So Merlin, it was an interesting track. The lead track was you played King Arthur and Merlin and you would rotate. So King Arthur.
Wait, you were King Arthur as well?
I was King Arthur as well.
Does King Arthur have a beard?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
That would be a pain.
And we would definitely, like, they allowed the beard and then we would have a false over for Merlin, a false long white beard.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. And
so you didn't ever, so it wasn't your own beard for Merlin?
Not for Merlin. But you would start off the show, you'd come in, intro the show, warm up the audience, then go into the back and you would become the master of the lease, who's the MC of the show. So you'd come out and do the middle section of the show as master of the lease, then go back in quick change back into Merlin and come out and do the finale as Merlin.
Right.
So in that night, we're running around with the staff and things. So Merlin was right at the beginning and the end to just really get the audience hyped.
Okay. And then you had to do other roles in it.
Yeah. Then after that, you're the MC.
Any spells? You cast any spells?
We did. We cast like right at the beginning. My favorite one was during Christmas. We would do snowstorm. So we would bring people in and the whole theater would snow. So we would do a Christmas version of it. And Merlin would say, with Mordred defeated and the realm restored, a celebration is needed so that each lady and lord can have their good hearts warmed and give their spirits a lift. And so I give to you one last magical gift. And then we would cause a snowstorm in the theater. So that was
this is how you call snow.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is the universal symbol
fact,
for snow.
Though. Melting snow and horse dung.
Oh yeah, right.
Just does not.
That's not a combination.
Not a great combination.
Just mush. Just that all. what do they call it? I think slurry. It's just slurry, like slurry at that point.
Absolutely.
They have this thing at the Flamingo called grey water, which they tell me is not sewage.
Oh, I thought that was a new show.
I wish.
When were the auditions? I missed those.
That's the spin-off from O.
It's like sometimes the waters back up and everything floods with grey water.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, come on, guys.
Yeah, it's not sewage, but it's not.
You're not going to take a sip.
We continue to try and lift this podcast into a higher status and win back to grey water.
It could happen any minute now. We're in the basement of the Flamingo.
It's true.
So it could come knocking at the door.
Yeah.
So how did you move to Vegas? What, you grew up here?
I'm an Air Force brat, so Dad was stationed all over, and then when I was 13, he wound up getting stationed at Nellis, and so I've been here since I was 13. So
wow.
The locals all consider me born and raised, even though I'm not, but I've been here long enough to see all the changes, so
yeah.
I get the pass. I get the stamp of approval.
Right. And, yeah. When you first came here as a kid, was Excalibur...
Excalibur was non-existent. Not, yeah. That whole
so
corner...
So you've seen that whole thing... Yes. Grow, come, be, you know, it was like there was that whole era of theme hotel on the strip.
Yeah, it was all
family
just
friendly
dirt.
Vegas.
Yeah, that horrible mistake, that family friendly mistake. But yeah, that corner was all dirt. It used to take, when you left the edge of Las Vegas to get into Henderson, it was like a 10-minute drive through the desert before you made it into Henderson. And now I've watched it grow up the whole time.
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah.
Wow.
In the middle of doing Tournament of Kings, I took a year off and I went and I did a little known show called Pawn Shop Live, which is a spoof on Pawn Stars.
Huh.
Where was that?
That was, it played first at the Golden Nugget and then we moved to the Riv and it closed when they closed the Riv.
Oh, right.
So yeah. So it was a right around that era.
I tried to get a show at the Riv.
Yeah?
Yeah, I bumped in. I was doing a gig at some convention and I bumped into all of the executives the Riv, and they'd see me at the Cosmo and they were like, hey, come and light it. But Dirk Arthur had a exclusive on the magic on property.
Especially animals.
No other magic. Especially
animal
animals.
Magic.
Can you imagine if that's how the original Mr. Pibbles had died? Got eaten by one of Dirk Arthur's tigers.
I think it would have happened the other way around, seeing how ferocious he could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He would have held his own.
The ducks were pretty vicious in Dirk's show.
The ducks.
Yeah.
The worst thing about ducks is they can't hold their...
I don't know whether they try, do they?
So they can't. Those fowl can't. So they just go when they go.
Yeah.
So you can't toilet train a duck.
I actually went to see Dirk Arthur's show and a duck shit on my foot.
That's because you had the VIP ticket.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So in terms of...
Which room was it you in at the Riv?
I think it was the Dirk Arthur room. It was upstairs.
Starlight showroom or something?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We were in there and it was a super fun show. We started off, we were going to do an unauthorized biography and we got a letter in the mail and we're like, oh, well, here's our cease and desist. And it was the guys going, we love it. How do we help? And so they wound up producing it.
Oh,
and,
great.
Yeah. We wound up putting it up. It was
nice.
A riot. Yeah.
That's
got
cool.
to go hang out with them. And
Jade and I just did their podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think people forget that as well, because, you know, when you, produce a show or make a show or whatever, because Vegas has these shows that have been so long running, there's always that feeling of like when you did something for a year and it did and then it didn't stay or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, because you're kind of judging it against all these long running shows. But actually, sometimes that's great.
Yeah.
It's great to like produce a show, build a show, hopefully make some money, or someone along there, even if the show's not grossing a lot of money, the whole ecosystem around it is making jobs or whatever else. And then, you know, then it's time for something else or whatever.
Yeah, that's kind of is not normal.
I love that.
Vegas is just an anomaly.
Right, that's what I mean. But it seems like
it's like... Oh, you haven't done 24 years?
Right.
As a run?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like some of the best shows have been and gone and like...
Yeah, absolutely.
And unfortunately, yes, a lot. It's so expensive to put a show on here that some of them lose money or whatever. But like... Did you see Fuerza Bruta when it was here?
Yeah.
I saw it in London.
That was at Excalibur. It was outside in the tent there.
Beautiful. Yeah. And it's the one before like, that, what was De La Guarda?
De La Guarda, yeah.
It was insane.
Beautiful. I saw Fuerza Bruta in London. I loved it. It was at the Brown House.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, and Brett Alters, he, another one of those shows that came and went was Particle Inc.
Yeah.
And I played the Interstellar Storyteller story in that.
I saw Particle Inc.
Yeah, I was there that night. And I was the puppet that night.
I was very offended by that show.
Were you?
I loved it, except for one reason. Do you know? Guess what the reason is?
Was there a dragon in it?
No. You had to walk around.
Oh, you couldn't sit down.
And you couldn't sit down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what am I
did
doing
Did you
here,
see
guys?
It at the warehouse or did you see it at Luxor?
At Luxor.
Luxor, yeah.
I sat down several times at Luxor.
Yeah. No, there were like people in the way.
Oh. No, that's what you didn't like. There were other people.
And there were other people that I had to
interact
with.
There was like the
with.
Public. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I was, no. But it was an amazing show apart from those two.
It was incredible.
Flaws.
I went just before it closed because I'd heard all these great things about it. And then again, as usual, I was, you know, it just hadn't been. And then I heard it was closing. I was like, I need to go see this. And I went to see it and it blew me away. And I was kind of sad. I was like, I would have come three more times. It was really, really good.
It happened really quickly. But it was that same thing where we had done almost a year. So we all felt really lucky. We were hoping it had longer legs. But
where were you? Were you in the other one, the one downtown?
I wasn't. I wound up. So Brett actually was one of the people.
How do you know Brett? Who is Francis the Squire in the Piff Show?
So Francis the Squire was the jester in Tournament of Kings with us. And he and I just have a very
well known in the medieval kind of.
He's really got his
niche.
He and I, I'm going to tell a story about Brett. I love you. I'm going to tell the story on air. Brett was the jester and we just had a very similar sense of humor. And they wound up at one point changing the laundry soap that they were doing the laundry with. And he wound up having a reaction to it. And he broke out in hives over his whole body, but still had to do the second show. So he went into the bathroom and he was like, I don't know how to ask this, but I need your help. And we had to literally coat him head to toe in baby powder and then put everything back on, even his face. Like he just had white baby powder over his face and went out as the jester, leaving this cloud of smoke behind him the whole performance.
You sure he wasn't allergic to horses? You sure it was the
Was it baby powder or cocaine?
Well, we're going to call it baby powder.
Right.
That's what they call it.
In Tournament of Kings.
Yeah. But yeah. That's how I know Brett. Right. And he worked on the story, the Interstellar Storytellers. So I wound up working with him quite a bit.
Once you've baby powdered a Vegas performer, it's a bond that never leaves you. Definitely. You're like, okay. Help me find me work. Yeah.
What's been your favorite show that you've done in Vegas? You've always been in shows in Vegas. That's been your thing. Like you came up, you went to school, immediately went into shows in Vegas.
No, I you know, did the regular thing, went out and worked summer stock and regional theaters and different gigs. I was at Utah Shakespearean Festival and went out and did like Birmingham Children's Theater and things like that. And then eventually wound up getting the gig at Tournament. I did that for a few years. I did Pawn Shop Live, went back to Tournament, and then I did Particle Inc. for a while. And yeah, so, but yeah, it's always been shows on the Strip.
Yeah, it's a crazy place. There's nothing like it in the world. Mm-hmm. Shows on the Strip. It's there were more shows here than what there are on Broadway.
Yeah. And I mean, per capita, it must be the most highly populated city of performers. Like, I'm sure maybe LA or Vegas or whatever, New York might have more, but for the size of the city, there must be more entertainers living in this town than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
When I was, we've got to bring it back to poop. So when I would load in as Merlin, we would go into this one turret and there was a two-way with the sound guy. Mm-hmm. And he and I would chat for a minute, check mic before I went out to start the show. So we would always just riff back and forth and have a good time. And there was one night where I was getting ready to go and he said, are you set? And I said, yes. And the joke that I was going to make is I have to take a shit. So I may just do it in the arena like the horses do. And he said, are you ready? And I said, yes. And he hotted my mic and I went, I have to take a shit. And I just heard this laughter from the arena. And Brett,
and that is literally a venue where it's going to echo.
Yes.
It's shit, shit, shit.
And into the monitors downstairs.
Oh,
I could hear the cast laughing backstage. And so, Brett has not ever let me live that down. So, that's my personal shit story.
I must visit the chamber turret. What was the word? They had a word for it. I can't
chamber
remember.
Chamber pot?
Yeah. No, but there was a word for like the part of the castle that leant out over the moat that was basically the long drop.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Well, ye oldie shit.
The shitter.
You lasted 5 minutes with poop, just saying.
What's that? Oh,
minutes between.
We've done 5 minutes of poop content.
How did you end up on Queer Eye?
So I'm giving the exclusive story. There's a part of this that I've never told before.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, there's a part of this that I've never told before. So I'm a wilderness survival expert. I've been studying it for like 20 years.
You're a wilderness survival expert?
Yes.
Any wilderness?
Any North American wilderness, I will be able to survive. I live
New York.
Yes, absolutely.
Like when you're driving out of the city and it gets like a bit scrubby?
I'm sure
That's called New Jersey. That's of you.
New Jersey. You could survive in New Jersey.
And the wilds of New Jersey, I do believe so.
Atlantic City. That's another place.
I've died in Atlantic City.
If I can find an atrium with plants, I think I'd be okay.
What's an atrium?
Like where they have the fancy plants.
Have you ever been to Mirage? Yeah. The Mirage?
That's an atrium, but isn't that a man-made thing?
Yeah.
He's a wilderness expert.
But he's going to live in a greenhouse.
That's right. Yeah.
You have to. You could survive, have to improvise.
What I am loving
in the world, as long as you find a greenhouse.
Two ends of the spectrum that couldn't be further apart. Somebody who can actually live out in nature, and somebody who can barely
live inside. Yeah. Well, you're telling me if we drove into
Yosemite,
the desert, mm-hmm. yeah, and we drop you off. Mm-hmm. 5 days later, you're going to be fine.
I lived for 35 days off the land in the Ozarks. And in order to pass the end of that test, you had to do what they call knife only, which is you have to survive. Huh? Yeah. You have to do 10 days with just a knife. Food, water, shelter, fire. Here's your knife. We'll see you in 10 days. Yeah. And we had to
a lot of drug dealers in the Ozarks too these days.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. Wow.
We had to do a release that was... agreeing that we understood that we were 6 or more hours away from higher definitive care. So if anything went wrong, they would do their best. But And so I survived for 10 days with literally just a knife.
No clothing?
Well, we got clothing.
Okay.
Literally what we had on us, away you go.
Here's so no backpack.
No backpack, no tent, no tent.
How many layers?
Like
on a plane,
yeah.
When you got too much luggage.
One of those, what they call Scotty vest. Yeah, that you're wearing
four hats. Yeah,
I was t-shirt, jeans, and windbreaker.
Wow.
And in my shoes.
You should have turned up dressed as Merlin because that would have really freaked out the other, I guess they're not competitors, but.
You're out there with a knife. And what's it like in the Ozarks? Is it hot or cold?
It's both. It's very cold during the winter, very hot during the summer, very humid. We were there during the summer. Lots of bugs.
Mosquitoes. Many mosquitoes by the lake.
Lots of ticks. Yeah.
They love
many ticks.
How big's the knife? That's what I want to know.
Medium-sized knife. So I'd say mine was 4.5 inches on just the blade. So
four and
it's called
a
medium-duty knife.
Okay. Like a kind of small Bowie knife kind
of
thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So why did we get onto survivalist expert? I'm interested.
we drop you off in the Ozarks in the middle of summer with the mosquitoes and a knife.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a t-shirt, jeans, shoes, and a windbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
10 days later, we come and fight. What have you been doing?
Supplying food, water, shelter, fire. So the first thing you want to do, especially in that situation,
on your own?
Is water. Yeah, well, we were, there was a group of us and we would interact, but the goal was that we were supposed to try to be alone.
Right.
The objective was do it on your own, try not to interact, but you would occasionally see each other and, hey, how you doing? And move on. And they would twice through the 10 days come and check on you in camp to make sure that you weren't dead.
That's, so, I mean, that is, if you were just left alone for 10 days, you'd be happy.
10 minutes.
I love that. I loved that part. Everyone else was freaking out about being alone.
How many people died?
No one died, but we started with 13. And by the time we got to knife only, there were 5 of us left. Everyone else had quit.
That does sound like Hunger Games to me. Yeah. Like you're now fighting knife only, guys.
What are you expecting to happen? What do you know that we don't know?
About being
about what's coming next.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, the reason that I did it was because my dad was super into the woods. And so it was like a way to connect with him. And then I just got obsessed with it. I went and I did this training in the Pine Barrens in New Jersey, actually, surprisingly.
Yeah,
and,
deep in the forest.
And the beautiful, on right on the coast.
Very hard to get a good pie up there. Yeah. So far out.
It tastes like bark. You got to, lettuce. We had such a good time out there, and there's this lady who was showing us which plants you could eat. And I always thought foraging would be like, let's walk for a mile and then pick this one plant and eat it. But it wasn't. There was abundance around us at all times. And this part of me was like, this is here everywhere and I don't know about it. That has to change. And then I just was hooked, just hyperfixated on it.
Well, aren't you just eating like berries that dogs spend their life pissing on?
Give them a little rinse, you know, usually
out of
that.
Where do you get the water
woods?
From?
So in the desert, Vegas is not a valley. It's a meadow. We have like 8 natural springs. There's actually groundwater. There's a lot of ways to get it. There's something called an evapotranspiration bag where you can collect water from the plants, things like that with just like a piece of plastic.
Right.
So, but that's priority one is get your water, get it purified. And then priority two is shelter. And then I'd say fire is second because you have to purify the water, but then shelter. And then after that, you can last. The rule of thumb is you can go 3 minutes without air. In bad conditions, you can go 3 hours without shelter. 3 days without water and 3 weeks without food is kind of the rule of thumb.
So. 3, 3, 3.
Mm-hmm. How long, how many, what's the longest time you've been without food?
Out there, I didn't eat for the first 2.5 days. I mean, I was eating like nettle and stuff like that, but that's that.
Just you, whatever you could find yeah, whilst you're doing something
you
else.
You use more calories to digest right. than you get from it.
Oh, that's kind of good food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think yeah. about what, by being provided with food, we have literally just like filled our days with so much other stuff. Whereas like, imagine every day, you just got to find food.
Yeah.
Well, I depend solely on Jade for my survival.
I know.
That's really, if she goes down, it's over. Yeah,
the ship's over. Yeah. The ship's down.
In the apocalypse, I think we're going to do quite well.
Yeah. I'm following him.
Yeah. People say that to me all the time. They say, you know, if it happens, I'm going to find you. Yeah. And my answer is always, I'll find you.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Done. Why? Because you're going to. Why?
Eat them.
You gonna eat them? No. To bring them to safety with me. Like, they're not going to find me. I'm going to find them. It also sounds badass, Piff.
All right.
I'll be up at Charleston. Yeah. In those little cabins.
You'll be up at Charleston. Mount Charleston.
So this is, tell us how you got in. We interrupted you.
Oh, yeah.
But this
yeah.
is, you were doing your wilderness.
So there was a producer who was really interested in looking at me for some of the survival shows. But I also have really bad kidneys. And so that was.
Kidneys?
Yeah, my kidneys are shit.
Well, probably because you keep spending 10 days in a desert.
Without water.
With no water.
Take a Gatorade, not a knife next time.
Yeah. Bring some electrolytes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got ruled out on all those shows, but the producer really liked me. So when she heard about the Queer Eye
Which episode, producer?
Her name is Quinn.
Don't know.
And she really just liked me and had gotten me other small gigs and things. So she wound up hearing about the episode and then calling my wife, Kate, and saying, you have to put Sean in. She's like, I cannot help him get the role, but I can call them and be like, this is a guy that we've looked at. We can at least get you on the radar.
Right.
And so they did that. And then they kept sending me these emails. Can you film yourself in the kitchen? And every single time I was certain that this was going to be the end of the road. So I wasn't taking it seriously. And my wife would have the camera and I'd look over and go, oh, hello, I didn't see you there. Welcome to my kitchen. It was just being stupid and ridiculous the whole time and then realized that that's probably why I got it.
Yeah.
And, but I was so convinced that I wasn't going to get it that at one point they're like, we're going to come over and take you out to lunch to talk about like
next steps.
They
didn't take me out to lunch.
Yeah, they took me out to lunch.
They were free trying, lunch? They were courting. They were courting Sean. They were trying to get him. You, they knew.
Yeah.
They're like, well, Piff will go to the opening of an envelope.
Yeah,
so,
right,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah, they were like, it's going to be fine.
Needs content.
Yeah. And even then I was like, oh, well, this is probably where they're going to tell me that they're not. And my wife was like, are you ridiculous? Like, what are you talking? Are you high?
Right.
Of course they're going to tell you you got the show.
Yeah.
And so we went to lunch and they were like, you got it. And we actually have crew in the house right now. So looking around while we're out at lunch.
Cool.
So,
yeah.
I got the show about 11 times. Mm. They told me, yep, you're in the show. And I was like, oh, that's great. And then a week later said, hey, guess what? You're in the show. And I was like, oh, I thought I was in the show last week. Well, there were a couple of people who weren't actually decided.
Also, mm-hmm. I can imagine that your reaction might not have been quite what they were hoping for. So then they're like, okay, let's hope he forgets.
My friend,
tell him he's got the show.
My friend went on Arab's Got Talent and got the golden buzzer on that and didn't really know what was happening.
Yeah.
And they were all furious because she wasn't happy enough about the golden buzzer and they took it away from her. They hoovered up all the golden buzzer and they reshot it so she didn't get the golden buzzer.
Really? Yeah. Oh my goodness, that's brilliant.
It's so good. They all came to the show. They all watched the show. We love it. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You're on the season. Next week, they came, had dinner with me. Hey, if you want to get on the season, here's what you got to do. And I'm like, you keep telling me I'm on.
Right.
Like, well, we don't mean it. But you just one and done. And they were at your house.
One and done. Yeah, they took us out to lunch so that the crew could come in and start looking around. Yeah.
They take a lot of money from you?
They took
a lot of money from me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
$340.
Oh, wow.
We had in the house, but with all it came.
Yeah.
And then they came and it was gone.
And 92 cents.
Yeah, and three dogs. They gave us three more dogs.
Yeah. I Did they make you make your entire friendship circle all go out to LA on a trip, on an expensive trip?
No.
That's what we had to do.
No, yeah, not at all.
Pay for it by yourselves.
I had to pay for it by myself. No, none of that sweet, sweet TV money. And Paul then I didn't even appear in the show.
No, Paul came. So we had this we did this award thing, and I secretly plotted to propose to Jade in it. So I asked my good friends, Paul and Joey,
who just in case in there room. Wasn't enough joy from John from Piff.
Well, we knew there wasn't going to be enough.
So they were like, "We need
some
joy.
Atmosphere in
so
the room."
So like, okay,
right.
I know what can happen. So he was like,
"We need somebody who looks excited, to be there as well as John."
That wasn't the reason I went. That was why Jade was.
Now Paul had a very specific job, and very important job to guard the ring, because Jade could not know about this, and I gave the
two things were happening. They were filming, and also Piff had won Magician of the Year at the Magic Castle, and that was kind of how they were packaging the whole story of the glow up. And then he decided he wanted to pop the question, so I was like, of course, it was my day off. I was at Mad Apple, but I took a day off, and I was like, I'm going to be there for my friend and for this proposal and for the thing. Great. So I take a day off, fly down to LA, get to downtown LA. Piff gives me the ring, which probably the most expensive thing I've ever held in my hands, to be honest with you.
Well, you've held Mr. Piffles.
True.
The clones are at about the same price.
True. And then just at the last minute, we went, you know what, maybe... You know, I think at that point you trusted the lead runner or someone. There was
someone.
Yeah,
it was like a producer.
Like, you know what? It's and the ceremony's going to happen. Then we're going to the rooftop for this after the party, and that's where the question is going to get popped. It's going to be a big surprise. So I'm like, maybe the producer should have the ring just in case. I don't know. I'm late or whatever. I didn't even think about it. And then I had a drink with another friend of yours, and
who was that?
Joey Waterchaney.
Oh, is that
right over there? He's very guilty.
Joey's in the
very
corner.
Very large gin and tonic.
No one puts Joey in the corner.
A very large gin and tonic.
Did you roofie Paul? Is that what you did?
I must admit, I was going through some stuff at home myself, and I'd been working a lot, and I was very like tired and emotionally a little bit exhausted. And so I get there, and we're watching the award ceremony, which did go on a little while, and you were at
the
top.
Worst.
And I just
I had a really good time in the Magic Castle Award show, and I'm grateful for everything that was given to
you
me.
You spoke almost with as much feeling there as some of the celebrity guests that introduced the awards, like the guy from The Bear. Do you remember that guy? Was that who gave you your award? It was.
No.
It was. It was
Jimmy
the actor
Allen
from
White?
The Bear.
No, it wasn't.
The curly hair.
No, the guy who gave me my award was a legend. Now I've forgotten his name. He was in The Muppets.
Jason Segel.
Oh, okay. But the guy...
And all we did was talk about his backstage Muppet stories.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really cool.
Well, anyway, it was going on a bit like this story. And I had a rather large gin and tonic. And I just didn't feel too well. And I just said to Jerry, I am going to need to take a little nap. I didn't even say that. I was just going to go back to the room. And it was in the same building. So I went back to the hotel room. And I just walked into the hotel room. I sort of had those shakes where you're like, oh, I think I might have flu or something. And just sat down for a second on the bed. And I woke up the next morning at 9 or 10 o'clock, having missed the party, the proposal, the filming, and my duties if I had had the ring.
Yeah.
And also because obviously, and I hate this, the weekend wasn't about me. No one had really checked in. You're like, I think someone had texted just to go like, are you okay? I think maybe it was Joey had checked because he's like, okay, he wasn't feeling well. He's gone.
I didn't check in.
No, of course not. You were busy.
Wow.
And I just messaged you, but this is where you were real busy and there's a lot going on.
I could have sent a text message.
Well, look at me giving you a way out, but no, you want to double down on the fact that you just... Well, you
I didn't
did
check
do
in the what, whole time.
What you did do that was very sweet was you just thought it was funny, and I was so mortified.
Well, I thought
but
it was
just
funny.
It was funny, and then I just went over in the morning and sat with you and Jade in your pajamas and had an hour awkwardly in your wedding suite. chatting.
The thing for me in this story that I think we're overlooking is the total Game of Thrones clandestine sabotage of you by Joey to curry his favor. Like, obviously, like, you know, we moved up in rankings.
So yeah, well, Joey made it into the episode, you see, but I didn't.
Look at that.
I mean, Joey was in the episode. You
know? Yeah.
To be fair, Paul came to the room earlier and I was asking Paul all these very personal business related questions while on camera. And Paul was like, I don't really want to be answering this right now. And I was like, yeah, you probably have a good point.
I didn't realize they were going to be shooting B-roll. So I walk into his hotel room having just arrived, hot off the plane from Vegas.
I had all these questions.
With all this like very intense, deep stuff, and then I'm like, there's like a bunch of cameras in my face.
That was a lot.
Imagine that. So basically, I flew to LA for a night's sleep and then came home.
Yeah. Now, you were out of the house having lunch while they're going through your personals.
Yes. Yep.
And they say, oh, by the way, it's happening right now. And what was the rest of the journey like?
It was a whirlwind. It happened. I was the first one to film. So after that meeting, I think it was a day or two, and my house was a film studio just instantly. And that was bizarre because I'm sitting in my living room on my chair with, you know, they would do the bookend lighting and have the camera and they're talking to me. And I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm like, you have to go to the bathroom. Talent's moving to the, and I'm like, wait, no, first of all, I'm not Talent. I promise. I'm just Sean. Second of all, the bathroom's right there and it's my house. I can go. And I literally would have to have someone walk me to my bathroom and then walk me back and to get my brain wrapped around the idea that this is now a set. And I have to do that in my house.
I did find that really interesting, even though I was only on the peripheries of it all. And I only saw that one day of shooting, that this is a very supposedly reality documentary show. And especially in this day and age where we do have a lot of like one camera filmmakers, like making really interesting stuff. It is very much still a Hollywood production.
Yeah.
Like I was kind of shocked by that. I was like, This is like we're moving the president, like you say. It was like there was a lot going on. Maybe it's a union thing. I don't know. But there was a lot of people.
Yeah.
My experience was they kept on saying, can you just like go outside for a minute? Because we just need you to not be in this room while we're shooting things. Because we're definitely shooting things in this room. And you just can't be in this room. And I was like, oh, well, if you're shooting things in here and I can't be here, I understand completely. I'll go and sit where you telling me to sit. Can I have anything with me? No, you can't have anything. No, you just have to sit there. And if you could just stare off into the middle distance, that'd be great. Yeah. Oh, no problem. Yeah. And I innocently thought they were shooting Jade scenes and they were all just there with their long lens cameras through the glass.
Yeah. Trying to shooting get B-roll. Shots of you.
Yeah. Me staring into the void.
I thought you were going to say, could you just go outside and then come back and just try to be a little more sincere in what you just said?
That was one thing I was really pleased about was that for me, at least, they didn't do that. There was occasionally, like if we came in too soon or something like that, they go, oh, we missed it. Can you come in again? But once they got started, they didn't really say, go back and say that again, or can you talk about this? The most I'd get is, you said when we were filming yesterday, that means nothing to anyone. So we can't use that now. So if you can remove that. But everything that I talked about, they were real open to just kind of letting me do it.
Well, you're not emotionally devoid.
Yeah, you're honestly the dream for them.
So yeah, I mean,
it wasn't quite so easy going with me. They were just like, oh my God.
I love it.
Bring out the dog. Let's just show more dog for a few minutes.
Did you read any of the comments or stuff once it aired?
I did.
Now listen, hang on a second, because that's a leading question. And I'd like to immediately address this. What he's referring to is the fact that I went and looked at the Queer Eye Reddit thread, but I didn't do that on my own. I did that because I was sent many emails, many, many messages on social media. And eventually I was like, oh, let's just see what they're talking about. But it's a fair and valid question. Did you, well, first of all, did you get a bunch of strangers emailing you?
I had a very small handful. They warned me that I was going to blow up and everything was going to be different social media wise. Not at all. I think I was recognized like three or four times in the wild. I had some very nice people.
Literally in the wild when you were surviving?
Yeah, exactly, when I was out there.
Because that's a lot.
Yeah. Paparazzi, I've only got a knife and a pair of jeans. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, nothing, that part of it was pretty normal for me. And so I had a handful of people that reach out, but they were all very nice. I mean, I got called a DILF on Reddit, and that's a first for me. I got called the Wholesome King. So I thought that was pretty nice. But I think the biggest controversy was the hairpiece. And yeah, and that was
wanted to give me a hairpiece.
Really?
Yeah, I was odd.
Glad you did not.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, glad you did not. That was my least favorite thing in the episode.
What did they do?
So there was a bit of like, we need something for JVN and that portion of the makeover to do for you. You know, I mean, obviously we can clean you up, but we want it to be, we're looking for an angle.
And looking for crafts.
Yeah. And so I was
Sean
like.
Sean-based craft.
I was like, you know, I mean, like, I guessed my thinning spot, but it was never really that big a deal to me. I mean, no one wants to have one, but I wasn't.
Right. But like, now they're like, they need to find some.
Yeah.
Drama.
But then like to be like, hey, I'm insecure about this thing on the top of my head. And they're like, well, let's shave it and point a camera at it and put it on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that was brutal. And then they put this hair system on that was fantastic, but it was just like, it was expensive to maintain. It was not fun during the summer. And I finally was like, that's it. And just,
oh,
was
you
like,
shaved your hair off. Look at that.
I was going to get rid of it. And I'm much happier with that. But that was, that part was,
what did you have to do? What did it look? What's the system?
So it's like a toupee, but it's surgical glued on. So it's on for like days at a time. You can wash it. You're just washing your hair.
Do you have to shave your head underneath it?
Yes, they shave out that spot and then they glue that piece on and then brush everything.
It is like making something worse to make it better.
Yeah. And I mean, and for someone that's a huge issue, I can see how that would be an absolute game changer for them. Right. But for me, it was just a pain in the ass, you know?
I'll have to send you videos. There's a lady on TikTok who she does them. She's like known as like, that's her thing. Yeah. She does the surgical stuff.
Samara, I'll send it to you. Samara here in town, she's the one that did it. And she and I became really good friends afterwards. So she was also the one that was finally like, dude, shave your head. Like, it's okay. Shave your head. And I was like, okay.
So, how often do you have to swap it out or re-glue it or whatever?
I could wear it for about a week before everything started to itch, and then my wife Kate could help take it off, and then we would shave and alcohol and clean and put it back on. And once a month, I was going into Sam to like retouch and color and make sure that everything was where it was supposed to be.
Right,
a lot of maintenance,
a lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of work.
A lot of work, especially for somebody who likes to put on a onesie as their pre-show ritual.
Well, I was saying just last week when we were doing this, I was saying this is the first time I've had to worry about doing my hair.
But it looks very smart.
Years. It's great. Yeah.
This is a,
it's a wig.
No, I can't. Yes, it's a wig. It's a system. I can never find my parting. Every day it's different. Mm.
But do you have it cut in?
I guess not. I don't know what's going on.
Well, it's nice to have a bit of variety.
It's one of Janice's friends who cuts my hair.
Maybe that could be a new segment.
Shout out.
Like pin the tail on the donkey. It's like fine piss party.
There's a magic trick in somewhere. Can you produce something from your part?
There was this
like Flydini, but on the head.
The barber that Queer Eye set me up with was very nice, but we had some different political views and I couldn't quite.
Did you have to have a conscious uncoupling?
I did. But he could find my parting every time. He was
like
a dream. Oh my God, I'd sit there.
No barber has ever found my parting like you before. Yeah.
Without
calling him up on the weekends, are you busy?
Yeah, Jay can't find my parting. She has no idea where it is.
Only fair.
How long have you been head shaved?
Just like 3 weeks now. Yeah.
Oh, just ours is a new
thing. It was super recent.
We've got like scoop after scoop here today.
Yeah. I just
are you gonna do that thing where you go skin like where you go like that skin level of head shaved all the time?
Oh, you mean like razored?
Yeah, because I don't even understand how you do that every day. Yeah. I can barely shave once a week.
No, yeah, I don't. I'm not after that.
It's a lot of maintenance too.
Absolutely. Yeah, just trading one problem for another at that point.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I don't have to find anyone that can find my part. So
you're right. Exactly.
No, you're winning. Believe me. Take it from me.
Yeah. Did you stick with the JVN styling or did you go a different way?
Embarrassingly, yes.
There has been a noticeable, impressive maintenance of out of PIF costume.
I mean, unfortunately, all they did was buy clothes that were more comfortable than my sweatpants and looked much more respectable. Mm-hmm. And then Jade took over my shopping. So she just fills up my closet with clothes.
And it's
easy enough
good.
To do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it stuck. That bit stuck.
Yeah.
The cooking didn't take.
It was getting to the point of like, oh, these are comfy sneakers. Mm-hmm. I'll just buy 10 in different colors. And then it's like it's as if he'd found Crocs for the first time.
Yeah, you know? Right.
That's what they did for me. They literally were like, everything in his closet, he can just reach in and grab with his eyes closed and it'll work because they knew that that's who I was.
Modular,
so same thing. And I still do the skincare stuff, but I have no idea what any of it is for. They're like, why do you do it? And I'm like, because they told me to.
Yeah, exfoliate. Well,
yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
No, they lost me with that.
Too much time.
Yeah, no, Jade, they put Jade in charge of my wardrobe.
It's expensive. Skincare is expensive, and you have a very expensive Labubu habit.
Oh,
to keep up.
I got a lot of Labubus. We just did a magic video with the Labubu. It came out great.
I liked it when, I think she won't mind us saying it, but when either this episode or coming episode, one particular very stylish lady was on here and off camera you were all talking about your Labubus and you were like, do you like Labubus? She says, will not engage, and left.
Who was that?
Peter.
Oh, did
she's like, no, will not engage in the Labubu.
Yeah, she's knee deep in Labubus.
She's too stylish already.
No
she doesn't
way.
Need to be on the trend.
No way. She's got
you
a secret cupboard.
Secret Labubu habit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when you go over, you know, like when you go to like somebody's house for the first time and you open the wrong cupboard and they're like, oh no, don't look in there.
They're all just staring at you.
Yeah, and 97 Labubus.
Yeah, it doesn't really go with like effortless styling from the 1950s, and then just a Labubu hanging off.
So, what you got coming up next, Sean?
Right now, I work in I've got a teen theater that I run called Alchemy Arts Academy, and we're putting out Terrytown coming up, and I'm also I've been the TikTok has been rather nice to me. I've been doing these like positivity video things.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And putting those out. And
that's taking off on TikTok.
Yeah.
What are your TikTok numbers? Where's my phone?
Yeah. So I'm just at Sean Critchfield on there.
Whoa. Yeah. You're what?
At Sean Critchfield.
Can you slow down?
Yeah. No, this is not because he's trying to build yet. He's ultimately turned this into a competition straight away. So it's like, I need to know cold, hard
numbers. Yeah, I need
numbers.
To know data.
This is
Sean Critchfield.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because this could be a new thing for me.
What,
30
positivity?
Seconds of positivity. I'll give it a go.
If you could, we could maybe save it up over the month. We could manage 1 month video. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. You do one and then I'll do one.
A 30 seconds of positivity? Yeah. All right, let's see. All right.
How long does it take to write them normally?
Not too long. Usually what I do is I base it around a quote. And then, so I look for a quote that inspires me. And then I kind of think about the script from there, script it out, and then just shoot it. Apparently with the kids, the cool kids, they call it, it's called grandpa cam style, which is where you're just like holding the shaky camera, talking to it. And that's an actual style.
That's
now
grandpa
that
cam.
Cool.
Oh, wow. That used to be just
the other thing is the pause. Yeah. You know, this, when you press the button and then you start speaking, that's like a big thing that like, the new generation don't do anymore. They just, as they press the button, they start speaking.
I feel like
they
that
trust
cuts
that,
off a bit.
They trust that technology is with them. Mm-hmm. Whereas we were like, wait, is it on? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is it on? We're good to go. Is how I started most of my videos on purpose as Nikki. It was normally, that was the first laugh is like, is this thing good? Okay, right. So, you know, there was literally 20 minutes of making sure it's running. But anyway, let's have some positivity.
All right. All right, here we
go. Not to me.
Let's see here. Hey, do you have 30 seconds for positivity? So I was thinking today a lot about magic. A good friend of mine, you may know as Piff the Magic Dragon, performs magic. And I think that we live in a time where people may not realize that we're lacking a sense of wonder. And I love the fact that some people's craft can be wonder. So take a minute today, look around, and see if you can find something that fills you with wonder. You'll be better for it. See you tomorrow.
Wow, it's 30 seconds. That was 30 seconds.
Now, I know that you're not, you age up in your role as Merlin or whatever else, but you could be my grandpa. That was lovely. That was lovely. I feel like you should just give us a Werther's original at the
end. If you want more of that, go to Sean Critchfield on TikTok.
I love that.
Yeah.
And you're on Instagram because I see them come up.
Where's that guy who did like, he's everyone's dad. So he teaches you how to do like stuff around the house. It blew up. Yeah. It was brilliant. It was like how to change a light bulb, how to fix a switch, how to, whatever. It was like,
And that like serious.
Do you sit in an armchair when you do that?
I do. It just depends on where I'm at, where I'm wandering around.
I'd like you to be next to a fireplace and an armchair, maybe have some. It a warm mug
I'd like
of something.
To be in the desert for the last 17 days.
And on filthy.
On your last squirrel.
I look like Robin Williams in Jumanji.
Yeah, just completely emaciated. I just want you to just take 30 days.
Okay, I've got 30 seconds.
And then maybe you could phone help.
The one thing you're doing is keeping your TikTok charged.
I love it. I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, like, when I first started, I was trying to do, my friends are like, it's got to have a hook or you got to do this trend. And I finally went, I'm going to die on this hill. Like what I want to do is put positivity and goodness into people's lives in a way that I feel is authentic.
That's exactly how I live.
I love that. Exactly. And like, I feel that that's the thing that people respond to is when, if I'm just being authentic and saying what I mean. And those are the videos that always do really well. Right. So, yeah.
Well, I think from what I can tell, I don't have a big social media following, but like the biggest part is consistency. And if you pick to do something that isn't, genuine for you, you're never going to be able to achieve the consistency. So there's only, you've got to do what you enjoy doing. That's the only thing that gives you the edge, right? So
absolutely.
That's great.
Are we going to see
positivity from Piff? Piff's 30 seconds to positivity. There it is.
Here it is.
This is a little bit like what the producers were asking of him on Queer Eye. It's like, can we just get to camera?
To camera. Hello, it's Piff the Magic Dragon. Not going to lie, it's a terrible place out there. But at least you're not outdoors, having survived the last 11 days in New Jersey. So just spare a thought for Sean and think how much nicer your life is right now.
Unless you're living in New Jersey.
Unless you're living in New Jersey.
Which I love. I love New Jersey. It's one of my favorite tour stops.
I like Atlantic City a lot.
I played Harris at Atlantic City. New Jersey. Where did I play in New Jersey? Morristown.
Yep.
Bergen.
And
the Count Basie Theater in Red Bank. It used to be an old hemp house, one of the last hemp houses with all the...
Count Basie's good.
Yeah. Right. Sean, we need to know... Yeah, just do quick fire. He's grown up in Vegas. So,
we do, yeah. And then he's got to play Bop It. Spots.
And then Bop It. Yeah. And then do we need news?
Yeah, I'll text you guys.
We'll do quick news.
We're texting the news now?
I'll be texting it, but then you guys talk about favorite stuff.
Okay. Oh, yeah. What's your Vegas hotspot?
Hang on a second.
What?
So I have a question. You all said you've been here since you were 15. So you've seen Vegas change a lot.
Yes.
But I'm sure there's some Vegas top tips, hotspots, secret locations, maybe some things that are gone now, maybe some things that are still here. Mm-hmm. You know, TikTok's blowing up all these little secret spots in Vegas, but what are yours?
You know, I would say that the spots that I really hold dear are not the ones that are on the strip. So the things that I would tell people to do is like, if you're heading out towards Pahrump, there's this dirt road off the left. You take that for like 20 minutes and you go to this place called China Ranch, which is a giant date farm. You can get date ice cream, date bread, huge palm trees. It's like an oasis in the middle of the desert. There is the Amargosa Opera House, which is literally an old opera house. This woman was a huge success in New York, was traveling to LA. Her car broke down and she looked at where she was at in the middle of nowhere, just outside of Death Valley, and went, I'm going to build an opera house here. And it took a while, but later in her life, she would pack houses. They had to build a airstrip in the back so Cessnas could land so that people could come watch her performances. So the Amargosa Opera House, definitely something you have to go see.
Where is that? That's near Ghost Town? No.
Yeah, it's going like towards Death Valley. So it's about an hour, maybe 40 minutes further west than Pahrump. It's about an hour drive to China Ranch to go check
Hang on,
out.
This is not what happened. What happened 2 hours out of Vegas?
Yeah,
Sean?
Right.
Come on.
We need, yeah, this is like, what happened in Barstow?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's actually fascinating considering considering that's exactly what, I mean, Vegas started like a tiny, tiny little few saloons in the middle of nowhere. That's awesome.
Yeah. There's also the
wetlands. They still do operas there?
They do performances. Since she passed away, they don't do the consistent show anymore.
How long ago did she pass away?
It's been about 10 years now.
Oh.
And she had painted murals on the walls of an audience, a three-tiered audience, so that, and she would go and perform every night, whether there are people there or not.
Sometimes we feel like that.
She would do it.
That's amazing.
She'd go in and do her show. Yeah. Her name is Marta Beckett.
That's fascinating. I would like to see that. That's amazing.
Yeah. And there's the wetlands in town, which is, we actually have a legit wetlands that's got like beaver and heron and cranes and raccoons and everything. And there's also artifact sites out there.
There's beavers living in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
We didn't know much about Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, so I didn't think that was in fashion these days, but genuinely, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I would not have believed that at all. I know that we have like some crazy wildlife, but desert wildlife as well. Favorite food spot? Is there like an somewhere
indoor,
you want
indoor food spot?
Not close to Vegas.
I-15 and I-15 is Simrose. Yeah. There's some lovely shrubbery.
If it's past Prim,
there's some prickly pear underneath. Favorite food spot would be, I've been really into good pie. There's good pie and eagle pie.
Yeah.
Good pie is so tasty.
Where's good pie?
Yeah. Downtown, isn't it? On Main Street?
Yeah, there's one on Main Street, and they also have another location that's up by St. Rose and Eastern area.
Evil Pie's over on Fremont, yeah.
Yeah, good pie is outstanding, and and excellent.
Favorite Vegas show or headliner now or ever that you've seen here? Performance that you're like, that?
I would say... I was blown away. We talked about it earlier. I was blown away by De La Guarda. So I'd say that's like probably one of my tops in town. And this is not just because I'm on the podcast, but like my favorite show right now is your show. Like Kate and I like laughed so hard my stomach hurt. Like when you brought
I
us all
two,
in for Queer Eye.
Two children fall off stage last night.
See?
So, you know, you might not be laughing, but you're having a good time.
Yeah. I mean, and I know Johnny Miles. So Johnny, I came to see it. Yeah, when Johnny was around. And
came it's a to great see show. And, I come see it all
so
the time.
Fun. I appreciate that. Thank you.
That's very sincere. Kind. Like, you know.
That's very kind.
Yeah.
I'll put it on the poster. 30 seconds of positivity from Sean.
Yeah.
Piff Show. Very nice.
I love it.
27 seconds of positivity in the Piff Show.
Yeah, that could be it. Yeah.
I texted it to you, but I was going to say also, Sean, it was Krause's teacher. Who
oh, really?
Is now in the show.
Yeah. Krause in the house, one of our backstage crew.
Yeah.
He's solid. He's a good
he's
guy.
Incredible. Yeah. He's an incredible actor. When he was a wee one, he was at Rainbow Company as one of the teachers at Rainbow Company, which is a city funded arts education program for the youth. And he did a scene from Hamlet with me. And for him to have that kind of awareness when he was like 13 to actually be able to even touch that text. Yeah. That dude's a beast. Big fan.
Yeah. I'm not a Shakespeare dragon.
Yeah. No,
not great. No,
there weren't a lot of roles for dragons in Shakespeare.
No, I miss my real calling.
Yeah.
I do really hope that one day I can join Tournament of Kings as I'm on my downward slide and see how my
that
last
would
few
be an upward slide.
No, I wouldn't be able to do any magic.
Well, you just have to fly in, but real flight.
No, you don't fly in, do you? The dragon flies in? Walks in, right?
Dragon walks in.
Walks in.
Yeah.
Well, the regular dragon would fly in.
Well, this is...
the magic dragon walks in with a suitcase.
This is a subpar. This is an easily defeatable dragon. What is this, Janice?
I'm very excited about the house on this thing, and I need to know more immediately, and I want all the stuff.
Okay, yeah, wait. Sean, check your phone. I sent you...
I actually turned my phone off.
Oh,
so
my
wife, we talked about this earlier. My wife is a type 1 diabetic, And
And you turned your phone off?
And she has the sensor on the back of her arm. And a couple days ago, she tragically had her purse stolen with everything in it. And so we had to put her sensor on my phone. And
now you've turned your phone off.
I've turned it off.
Could you, before we proceed, could you just check your phone?
I mean, I know you're good at surviving in the wild.
We put the alert on my son's phone too. So if anything happens,
Fine. Yeah. Right. Sure he'll,
I've got a knife. I would prefer it if you had some insulin, but thanks so much.
Okay, then does someone mind sharing their phone with Sean?
Yes. Which one are we looking at? The Zillow one?
Yeah, let's do Zillow first.
Okay, oh, please. This is just fabulous. Tell me the story.
Yes. Let me get my notes.
You might have seen this. This is a house.
Okay. Yeah. So in the last couple of days, this crazy house in Vegas has hit the Zillow market. $2.5 million, 4-bed, 5-bath, really big lot. But anyways, it's just kind of crazy eccentric. So check the photos out. And
how much is it on the market for?
$2.5 million.
I want the stuff.
Yeah.
How can I buy the stuff? It's got like the Hacienda.
Inside
is stunning. It's got the Hacienda sign, home of El Grande Buffett.
Is this the former Lonnie Hammergren house?
Yes, it is.
Wow, that's some knowledge. Look at that.
Former whom?
Lonnie Hammergren, politician in Vegas.
Okay.
And this house, you used to be able, when you drive down, you could see towards the back of it, and there would be like sculptures of giraffe heads
right
over it, and like you can see the ears.
But
of
the
an
inside
elephant
is and full of beautiful stuff. Actually, outside does look like an absolute junkyard. But
should we request a viewing?
Amazing, huh?
Should we request a viewing? You and I.
I want to go real bad.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, if I request a viewing, they'd be like, "Don't even bother coming. You can't afford anything."
My useless trivia about this house is when we were little, like in grade school, Lonnie Hammergren would send pencils to all the schools, and the pencils were red pencils with two erasers on the top so that it looked like a little hammer. And
right.
So Lonnie Hammergren. And then the big thing was he would give out full size candy bars in his living room on Halloween. So that was like a destination stop on
Halloween.
Because
you got a full size, not a like a little.
And you got to go into the house and see the madness of the house. So I've actually been in that house, and that's how I knew it when you showed it to me that it was Lonnie's.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you do forget what levels of eccentricity are here in Vegas, and just everywhere. Like, where else can you like build have a little ranch home and then suddenly just build a warehouse garage on the side of it that's like the size of a hotel?
Yeah.
And it's just like all those homes that now have become part of the city because everything's got closer and closer, but there were so many like ranches that are now like basically in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And just crazy. And if you take a drive through the Scotch 80s, like off McNeil and down there, you would swear that you've driven into like a gated community, but it's completely open. But it's like these everything from like beautiful, like very LA California style homes to like houses that look like public libraries, like columns. I think that's where the Oscar mayor. Oscar and Carol Goodman. I think it's where the Goodmans lived and live or whatever. Yeah. But it's fascinating. There's so much eccentricity around.
And this town is perfect for it. Like we have the Simpsons house. This was where the Simpsons house was built when they renovated a house to look exactly like the house from the Simpsons. There's that one that's got that compound underground.
The underground mansion. Yeah. Howard Hughes was a big part of that.
Yeah, they actually painted murals on the walls so that when you were in the structure inside, it felt like you were looking out into the outdoors.
It's two stories down.
Yeah, we haven't done anything like that in our house.
You put pool in.
Put pool in.
You had a putting green for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I thought, Lonnie was really cool and I wish he was still alive. Because, okay, how do you say his last name, Sean?
Hammergren.
Hammergren.
Yeah. Hammergren.
So he was a Nevada politician, but also a brain surgeon. / surgeon in general. So he operated on the famous daredevil Gary Wells after his failed attempt in 1980 to jump the fountains at Caesar's Palace. Wells recovered. And then he also performed brain surgery on boxer Duk Koo Kim following his Ross to Ray Boom Boom Mancini in a world championship match in Las Vegas. Kim died of his injuries.
He also operated on his own brain by the looks of his backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he got really addicted to collecting to the point where like he had to sell the main house because he was in so much debt from purchasing all these items. But like this house, I think currently has Liberace staircase from the Riviera show, the Dune stained glass dome, the sign from the Hacienda Hotel and Casino, a planetarium. He's had a 200-year-old gondola, a life-size papier-mâché brontosaurus skeleton.
I need to see this house.
Batmobile. Yeah, when he was alive, because whoever bought the main house preserved it and kept it as is. So then they opened their home to visitors on Nevada Day, a.k.a. Halloween. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was a thing for like, I think, a couple of years at the end, like kind of more like tour versus candy collecting. But yeah,
it's so when a so rich cool. brain surgeon does it, it's eccentric. But when I do it, it's hoarding and weird.
Yeah, it's right? Exactly. Yeah, correct.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Good one, Janice.
That's a good one. And do you want to do Bop It?
We just found out how to play Bop It. We thought we all knew.
Mm-hmm. Dieter
showed us the way. So
okay.
This is Bop It Extreme.
Extreme.
Twist it, pull it, spin it, flick it, bop it.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see how long you can last.
Here we go.
Bop it. High score, 12.
Bop it. Twist it. Oh, I bumped it.
You bumped the flick it, didn't you? You can go again.
Okay. I'll give you one more go.
Okay.
Ooh, now
we're
going to change your life.
Okay.
Here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do all of those things on the beat. I can't do it. I don't have any rhythm. Can you do it? You can do it, right?
I got the high score, higher than Dieter. So
Dieter told us you do it on the beat. So,
like a dancer. So bop it.
You want to do it?
Yeah. Go ahead. And right. try and do it to the music. Oh,
I got to pull it again. Pull it.
Pull it first. Pull it. Got it.
Okay. Go.
Here we go. On the beat. There you go.
You're getting in the rhythm there. You're getting it. It gives you that little breathing space.
Yeah. It gives you the breathing space.
The panic goes away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks like you know you're in charge. Mm-hmm. It's a good tip.
A bit like us on this podcast.
Charge. I found this Buffett's part.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to sleep.
There you go.
All right. Bop it.
There you go.
What's that? You want to do it again?
That's it. No, it's just you.
We're too good at it.
It's just
me.
You'll go in the Hall of Fame with your score.
What was your score?
My score was 12.
No, nine? Was it nine?
I think nine. That sounds right.
Well, pull it. It'll tell you.
I think we do it again one more time and I'll keep track this
time. All right. One more time. Oh,
that might
13.
That was 13.
14.
Whoa.
So that's there the you record. Go. 14. See, it we are
we
changing
your life.
Lives.
That's we really are.
Dieter is
difference.
Changing lives
that's
one bop it at
a
time.
Podcast right there.
Oh, it's going to sleep.
It's going to sleep.
Thank you very much,
so
Sean.
We.
Yeah.
Look, Sean up on TikTok, on Instagram, and Google, everything.
Just Sean Critchfield on any of those.
Yeah. Great. 30 minutes, 30 seconds.
So
30 seconds.
Stay tuned because we're going to do a video of the three of us at Tournament of Kinks. So, we'll meet and greet afterwards.
I want to go see that. Chicken.
I'm not going near the horses.
Chicken.
Thanks for listening to What Happened in Vegas. Don't forget to follow us wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review. Preferably a nice one, right?
Yeah. If you hated it, find five places you hated it and give us a star for each of those.
Yeah, if you get five good things from a podcast, that's enough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.